Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where we'll be exploring together what is an architectress, what is the New Earth, and how is the evolution in consciousness paving the way for your leading role in architecture. I'm your host, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm so excited to share with you what's possible when you lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and your divine calling. If you're a woman architect or designer who's hearing a deep call to take your stand as an ancient temple builder of the future, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Today, I want to talk about an experience that has deepened my perspective on dark forces that are present at this time. This came up during the equinox, the recent equinox, and it's so amazing to it's so amazing when you actually witness with your full body and soul the power of these significant turning points in time, in nature, in the cycle of life. One of them is the equinox. We have an equinox in the fall and we have an equinox in the spring. This fall's equinox really brought forth for me the presence of the dark and the light forces within us, within the land, and within this planet and beyond. And these dark forces have a lot to teach us. The dark forces exist within our bodily functions. The dark forces exist within our relationships. The dark forces exist within our shadow aspect. The dark forces exist within the ending of life, death, disintegration of life, deterioration of life. But the dark always comes with a teaching. And last week, I experienced a very traumatic event for me, which was the destruction of a fairy dwelling, a kind of an edge that was protecting and keeping the balance of a particular site that is very near and dear to my heart. And I've been going on some rants about it. It really unleashed my sacred rage. And it really dropped down into my bones. At that moment, I knew really what it felt like for example, the people who live in the Amazon to see their forest destroyed, to see their forest, their home destroyed and, logged, right, for trees. So what is very clear to me right now is that there is a force that is deliberately trying to kill the light in the land. As it tries to kill the light in the land, it tries to kill the light within us. Now, this can take various shapes and forms, and I don't want you to misunderstand me by assuming that what I'm saying means that we need to protect every single physical landscape feature is the horrible word, but landscape elements, right? Rocks, trees, bushes, mounds, whatever that may be, forests, rivers. I'm not saying that we need to tiptoe around the land and protect everything. The nature spirits are willing to collaborate with us when we take a respectful and approach where we actually acknowledge the spirit of the land before we do any, make any big decisions, and before we dig our foundations, before we build our home, before we cut down any trees, perhaps those trees we use for the building process, or to fire our wood ovens in the winter time, whatever that may be. So I don't want you to misunderstand me here, but the unconscious destruction of life forces within the land that provide life force. So life forces within the land that provide vitality, chi, abundance, health, balance. I think I said that word already. Whether it's conscious or unconscious, on the part of human beings, there is a force that is deliberately making use of us to destroy the light in the land. So I'm seeing this also in a lot of these developments in Turkey here, where I live, where there are far too many number of buildings per square meter, where there are far too many homes or residences built per square meter. And you can see that there's a complete disregard to the essence of place. The only thing that really they have in mind is to create profit, right? And there's also nothing wrong with profit. I want everyone to be rich. I want everyone to enjoy the fruits of profit. But it's, you know, at what end, right? What gets destroyed in the process? That's a really important question, right? And in the end, I really wonder what those properties, how they will function in the future, right? All kinds of construction issues can come up when you do not pay respect to our Mother Earth and all her assistants. So let's talk about this force that is deliberately trying to kill the light in the land. This force, you can see it in all aspects of life. You can see it in our communities, in our culture, in schooling systems. You can see it in many different ways. This force tries to make everything into dead matter. So dead that it's like a carcass, and the carcass is void inside, and not the good creative void, which actually exists within our wombs, but And that's where a lot of magic arises. So some voids are actually really good things. But what I'm talking about is, I'll use a different word to make a distinction. Empty. Carcasses with emptiness inside. And one way this force is doing this is actually, well, the one way it's doing it to us, to our bodies, because we are the land as well, is to sever our heads from our bodies. So one way that this is happening is with media, television, the digital world. You can see this with the advancements in technology, with the metaverse. I've never experienced the metaverse, so I don't want to make any preconceived ideas about what that experience is like. I'm always open to new things. I'm never going to say, oh, this is so bad, you know, like robots are bad and this and that. I'm sure there's going to be some benefits that come out of that technology, but what is this metaverse or what is this virtual reality doing? It's completely disconnecting ourselves from the tactile physical world and from our bodies and taking our heads away into a different reality. A reality where you can experience anything you want, right? What was it? Was it Star Trek or something where you could they were doing like all kinds of, you know, like practice or exercise, like sword fighting or some kind of like martial arts where they could create a scene around them. They went onto this deck and they could create the scene around them to practice their martial arts. That's kind of cool. That's actually pretty cool, right? It's cool when you are grounded spiritually, right? It's cool when you actually know your center and your inner being, right? Like the Jedi. I'm a Star Wars fan, by the way. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. At least the old ones. I used to watch them all the time when I was little. And technology isn't something new. We have actually explored with very sophisticated technology during Atlantis, during another phase of human evolution, which was further back. And we were directly connected with the spiritual realms and realms that wanted to manipulate the human being and all kinds of, there was space travel, there was all that stuff. At least from the research that I have explored and some of the deep journeying work that I've done on my own to investigate some of my past and parallel lives. So I've had direct experiences being off planet and being in worlds where, and they're real, where there was this technology. So the severing of the head from the body. What that does is it actually makes our bodies lifeless, right? Then we're not a whole being. We need the crown chakra. We need our pineal gland, right? We need our third eye. We need our throat chakra to speak our truth, right? So we sever our head. And if we're totally in the mind, right, then we're disconnected from our heart, from our solar plexus, from our womb. It's all not flowing as one instrument, right? And so watch and observe what's going on these days in that respect, where we're being fed a lot of information. We're increasingly getting addicted to our phones and and the digital world media. And there is this deliberate manipulation going on in terms of our freedoms, our rights. People are telling us what is politically correct and what isn't politically correct. Some of it has value. Some of it has value based on a lot of discrimination or unjust events that have happened to certain cultures and people over time. So some of it is, you know, I'm not saying it's all bad, but we're being told by the media, you know, what to think about certain events. And we see this all the time. We read newspapers, you know, did this prior as well, right? You know, we're accustomed now to listening to a certain narrative that is accepted by a group of people that have the power, or at least that's, you know, the illusion of it, that they have the power. So why am I getting into all of this stuff? I want you all to be aware that working with nature, working, you know, stepping into the world of spiritual energetics, working with feng shui, working with geomancy, you know, yes, it's you know, we're going to bring abundance, beauty, harmony, health to our clients and to the land and all of this. But you've got to also be aware of the dark forces that come in and may deliberately try to halt the process, halt your process. And it can come in very many different shapes and forms. So more and more, it's really important for you women to be anchored in your truth, anchored in who you are, anchored in source, the cosmos, the subtle realms, the anchored in the earth and the creative life force that emanates from the earth. Otherwise, you're going to get really swayed. Okay. There is a battle going on between dark and light. I don't choose to play or be, I don't choose to I was going to say, I don't choose to be an active participant in that battle, but in a way there are times, and this last week, I felt like I was being asked to step up into a warrior position and to be really aware, listening. You know, like the lioness, right? Like the deer, and just be really aware and smell danger when it can be coming close. Okay, so there, the more you step into your own truth, the more you step into the reality, the truth that you are a sovereign woman and have magical powers, and finally start to speak the voice of nature, of spirit, you can run up against some forces that want to pull you down. I'm not saying this to scare you or to discourage you from doing this work, but you've got to step into it in a way where you really have the radar on. And it doesn't require so much effort. It takes some practice. Yeah, take some practice. Takes a lot of listening. And having this capacity to discern, right? To have discernment. So, you know, I want to talk about my own house construction as well. It's a real challenge to, you know, in terms of the bringing spirit into the form of buildings, bringing spirit into the whole process of construction, bringing spirit into the materials of your buildings. bringing spirit into your relationship with your builders, with your team. But there's so many different ways you can bring spirit into your process. It's not an add-on at the end, right, of the project. Like, I'm just thinking about the whole fee proposal. We're going to get you the design you want. We're going to get you the design you want. And then we're going to add on the passive solar heating. We're going to add on the sustainable design. We're going to add on, it really shouldn't be like that. We're going to add on the spiritual energetics work at the end. And then, the fee is kind of broken down into various pieces and it's added on. And the client, and then usually the client ends up not having enough money towards the end to add those on. I mean, I've experienced that with something as simple as a green roof, right? The clients enter into the project saying they're interested in green design and sustainable design. But I mean, I've worked on a project like this, but it's like the whole thing was so false. It was so false. And I'm not blaming anyone. Everyone has a choice, but I'm just reflecting on my experience with that. And it was just this kind of like dollhouse colonial residence with tons of pot lights everywhere. I'm not a fan of pot lights, by the way. I think we really need to be working with reflective light off of surfaces versus direct light down onto surfaces. Okay, that's just me nerding out on lighting. But it was real, it was a typical construction in Canada that was really like a dollhouse that really didn't feel, it really didn't feel like it belonged to the land. We were just, as a team, we were just doing what the clients were telling us to do. And I remember that, there was a green roof idea above this garage studio thing. And that got killed too, because it just ended up being too expensive. But it was like this, it just felt like an add-on, right? And the work that I'm bringing forward with the Sacred Blueprint is completely revolutionary in a way that brings the spiritual energetics to the first meeting, brings the spiritual energetics to the entire process. It brings into the process of how we meet in group with the clients and perhaps builders and engineers. That's like kind of the next level of the Sacred Blueprint, right? And it's really inspired by the wisdom of our ancestors, because the way they walked the land was in a way that was connected to spirit, even if it was more on the group soul consciousness. And this is a really important distinction. Back then, the group soul consciousness was much stronger. And now we are going through a process of individuation. Now we're going through a process of becoming independent I am beings. One isn't better than the other. It's just a fact of our human evolution right now. And whatever that is, it's just the impulse, the energy of holding sacred design as a sacred walk through the elements, a sacred walk through the directions, a sacred walk in our relationships with each other, a sacred walk in the way we build and the way we use architecture and the way we're conscious of architecture as a living being that can support our own transformation and the transformation of this planet. So it's not an add-on. It's not an add-on. It's the starting point and the point that is what weaves through the entire process. And you can apply this process to any scale of project. Now, question is, if you're working with a firm, you know, are they open to this, right? And there are different ways you can, you know, use language to incorporate the world of spirit into the projects that you're working on with the firm that you're at right now. Or maybe you're working independently, so you have more freedom. But I would also watch that you're not hiding your use of word spirit or energy. It's really time to step up, women, and be bold and brave and not worry about what other people think. So going back to the house construction that I'm working on, there's been a lot of times where it's just like, oh, okay, well, let's just leave this corner like this. And I'm looking at the corner and it's just like, there's no life in this corner. There's no life. Oh, you know, there's no movement. There's no flow. I don't feel like the house is hugging me. And so I've been working on a lot of details, even though you don't need them for permit or for getting what we call the right to actually live in the house. I don't know what the direct translation of that is in Turkish, in English. So what I'm saying is because I've been connected to the land and to spirit and making my prayers, I cannot tell you how many times the most amazing synchronicities have shown up where it's like, oh my God, the builders are here. Oh, and you know, magically there's been some builders who have like offered themselves to build up certain kind of chamfered corners and niches and arches and some organic forms, because deep down, actually, they're really enjoying it. They're really enjoying working with the spirit. Now, it's been a lesson for me to also not be the ego architect who's like obsessing over everything and like watching their every move. There's been moments of teaching for me where I've just been like, okay, how can I bring more lightness, more spirit, more humor, and more love into my relationship with the builders, into my relationship with my husband and my family? You know, it's a challenging thing to build a house. We've got a few tiny houses as well, and my husband's been focusing on working on the tiny house, which is really great, because then there's been like a great channeling of energies into two directions. And I've been able to focus on one side, he's focusing on the other. So I'm just reflecting on all of that. And I hope it's helpful for all of you to hear my process. So what I'm trying to get at here is there are so many ways you can bring spirit into the way you practice architecture. There have been some offices where I've worked that really have a great culture, and they do a lot of, you know, monthly activities for fun with the office where there's a lot of laughter, there's a lot of music. That's also bringing spirit into architecture. It doesn't mean you have to be talking about angels and you know, nature spirits like I do, or the light beings or Gaia. It doesn't mean that, but it's like, what's so important is that we realize and recognize our own humanity. And if we really recognize our own humanity, then we will discover that we are not empty carcasses. And that the more we tap into the wisdom and the power and the natural forces that are present and then the less we're dependent on external influences, external stimuli. Yes, it's great to share. Yes, it's great to see what other architects are doing, what projects are going on in the world. Yes, it's important to keep up with all the the world events and, you know, read up on what's happening in different cultures around the world. This is something different, but we are just being completely attacked, quite frankly, with information that is persuading us and manipulating us to be fearful, to be scared, to persist in living in this survival consciousness mode, right? Where we're powerless and where it's not possible to step beyond a certain, let's say, social sphere or social status, or where it's not possible to step beyond a certain income per year. Like it's that force that's trying to maintain the status quo. And if this is resonating with you and you're really hearing the call and you can feel it in every inch of your body and soul, maybe you're getting sick all the time, maybe you're getting depleted, This is a sign of Mother Nature's cry, because you are deeply connected with the earth. And this force that wants to put everything, like wants to make everything into dead matter. Steiner talks about this force as Ahriman. Then you get depleted as well. There's no separation. There's no separation. And that's what was happening to me. I was getting depleted all the time. So the events during the equinox, there were several others that really brought to light the dark and the light. See, that's the interesting part. When we're conscious, there's the third element. There's a third element. There's a third element that comes into play when it comes to unity consciousness, where you are conscious of both the dark and the light. So there's a third element, It's a benevolent element. We're including the darkness into it. We're not rejecting the darkness. Actually, the darkness, Set. Where's Set? Where are my cards? Okay, they're over there. Let's see if I can bring them. Set. These are the oracle cards that I use. The Anubis Oracle by Linda Starr Wolf and Nikki Scully, from the tradition or the work from, I've been using it in my training and studies in alchemical energy healing. So here's Set. The shadow, the trickster. Adversarial ally. But take a moment to tune into Set. What do you see? You can see there's a mirror image of him. He's holding a pomegranate. He's grinning. And he also has one hand up to the sky and one hand down to earth. So does his mirror image. He can trick us so for people who are listening to the podcast, you know, you can imagine, you can tune into the energy of Set as I hold this card. You don't actually have to watch the YouTube video, but, you know, of course, come into YouTube and watch the video of this podcast as well and follow me. So to see the card, he's number 15 in this card deck. And there's a lot that comes up for me when I look at Set. There's the learning of, you know, that our shadows are like a mirror, right? A mirror, or he's the mirror into our shadows. He's the mirror into our deepest, our darkest selves. This dark, deepest, darkest selves or aspects of humanity. And it's like, he can trick also, that's what I'm getting a sense of. He can trick you into like, oh, what's above? What's below? Is it really source? Is it really, or is it hell? Or is it right? I mean, I don't actually believe in the H-E-L-L hell, but there is the underworld, right? And there can be a trick. It's like, is this the underworld or is this actually the, you know, the heavenly world? So there's this kind of like, I'm tricking you to teach you something. I'm tricking you to teach you something. And the events that I experienced last week, just before the equinox, just a couple days before the equinox, a few days before, really had this energy for me. I'm curious, did you also experience an intense energy like this? I mean, it unleashed my rage, my anger, my tears, my like eons and eons of trauma and violation that I experienced as a woman and as a man through eons of time. This certainly wasn't trauma that I experienced in this life, for sure. And maybe it was a collective trauma that was speaking through me, but the event of the destruction of the nature spirits isn't so one-sided. And there was a teaching and learning there for me, but also a firm knowing a firm knowing and a stepping up into a yet an even more urgent responsibility to hold the torch for the light in the land. Like that it's not okay. I had to speak up, and that is not okay. It's just not okay. It's not okay that the dead functionalism of the old paradigm is still persisting to kill the light in the land, to kill our life force. It's just not okay. And it's time to rise up now. It's time to rise and to speak and to get angry if that is necessary. Now, how you get angry is your responsibility. How you get angry is your responsibility. You're human. You may take it out on family members, your children, your work, your colleagues. It can happen. It can happen. But I recommend that you do some meditation work, some body movement work, dancing, drumming. I did some drumming this morning to redirect that rage into the fruit. So I'm pulling up the card again. Redirecting the shadow, but integrating with the shadow. This is so important, not pushing it away. And then the fruit appears. And he's got half of a fruit there. And so what that's reminding me of is that our higher selves, our heart force, you know, the light side of us, whatever that is, it's our responsibility as the third element, the conscious observer element, the higher self, to bring the two halves together to make the whole fruit. So being conscious of the force that is deliberately trying to make everything into dead matter. And it really can have, this force can be present through friends, through family. And it doesn't mean that those people, members of the family are bad. It can come through some of your colleagues. It can come through maybe your followers, if you know, your community. And as a conscious architect who really hears the call to partner with Gaia, with the divine feminine, who is now really yearning to breathe the flow, the feminine flow and the beauty into all aspects of life to bring back the balance again, right? To bring back, to bring the two halves together again, so they're whole. I swear, it happens on so many down to earth levels. And that's what I'm experiencing in the construction. Like there's just so many moments where it's like, okay, you know, like you want to bring, let's say I have an idea to work with, you know, bringing some curving for a form into the ceiling. And right now it's concrete beams and a flat ceiling. And right now that's been put on hold, but you know, I'm determined to bring that force in, but it's really easy to get used to actually, as you walk in and accept the functional aspects of the house, which is like, you know, part of us is like, oh my God, we just need to move in, right? We just need to move in and, you know, we'll get used to it. You know, there's a part of us, but I have been holding the torch. I feel like it's so my responsibility to bring the beauty into a more rigid structure, a more functionalist structure. And it's not an add-on. It's something to do in every single step of the construction process, the design process, the visioning process. Was it Greg Braden? Oh God, I always forget his name. But he had an interview with Lilou Massé. I hope I'm pronouncing her right. And he talked about the Navajo community, the indigenous community in America, and that they considered beauty as an actual force. Just think about that, right? Like we've been so accustomed. Sure. Okay. There's the natural beauty. Oh my God. You know, this person is beautiful. The tree is beautiful. The flower is beautiful. We know that. But when it comes to design in the last, 50 years or so, or longer, 100 years, beauty feels like it's always just been this add-on. It's like, it's not really ingrained. The Navajo indigenous community, and I'm sure so many other communities, perceived the force of beauty and that beauty is a necessary element to a healthy functioning community, a healthy functioning human being, healthy functioning space. So it's really our responsibility and your responsibility to bring this beauty, this life force, the creative life force into all aspects of design. What happens when we don't? Then we become the severed heads from our bodies. Then we become completely disconnected to the rhythms of life. We become completely disconnected to spirit, right? We become completely disconnected to life force. And life force and spirit is what is giving, is what is pumping the heart, is what's making our organs work. It's what's allowing me to speak at this moment. It's allowing me to have a consciousness. Can you imagine if we became so much of a dead carcass that we no longer had a consciousness anymore? What does that look like? What is that? Is that artificial intelligence? Is that being a robot? Robots are useful. There are amazing robots that I've seen. Have you seen those where they're now pouring these clay circular like huts and structures and dwellings out of this beautiful natural clay? Maybe it's like a cob kind of material. Such a cool robot, right? You know, actually some of our, you know, construction machinery are robot-like, and it has a quite a sophisticated technology. But now we're going like way, like really, really super fast into this, into the advancements when it comes to robotics. But beware, beware. Are you using the robot as a tool, as a conscious, human, creative, organic, natural being? Or are you being turned into the robot? Be aware. You know, there's some buildings you walk into where it's like there's been a lot of design effort, lots of design, lots of beautiful materials, or yeah, beautiful materials coming together and shapes and forms and things. But when you enter, there's just something missing. I wonder what's coming up for you as I speak. Share, write in a comment if you're watching this on YouTube. Send me a message. I have a contact form on my website on the New Earth Architectress podcast site as well. You can contact me. I'm curious what you're feeling. Also, I want to say that I am, you know, I don't show a lot of examples of imagery of what could be possible because I really want you all to gather the forces within you and exercise your muscle of intuition and visioning so that in what is possible in terms of form of a building or a garden or a community or a vision for the city, that it gets birthed through you. I keep a lot of my imagery at the hand sketch form to keep the life and spirit to speak through the sketches. 3D imagery, that's also a topic, right? Like the right now, oh my God, I was looking at, there was a 3D imagery company who does 3D modeling. They reached out to me asking if, you know, if I required their services, and I took a look at their website. The stuff they're doing now, it's like, oh my God, it does look real, but when you tune into it with your heart, it's kind of creepy. I don't know. What do you think? Like 3D imagery, not against it. We need it. It can sell some really, you know, big projects and really wow your clients. So absolutely use it, but where is the spirit there? I always combine my 3D imagery with, like, I do some SketchUp and then I'll add Photoshop collage and then like my hand sketch over it so that it still has the touch of the human being. Another thing I've noticed too with this 3D that's a problem, when I was teaching in architecture at the architecture faculty school in Izmir some years back, you can start to notice that the computer is starting to design the projects for the students rather than the spirit moving through the hands of the students. We got to be really careful there. I mean, lots of fun stuff can be done on 3D, but if you think about it, what happens to the body when you are doing all this 3D imagery? You're in front of the computer and your body is still. You're not moving, right? You're not moving. So a lot of the work that I do I do a lot of movement to activate my creative forces, movement with my body, walking out in nature, right? And then it's like the image comes or the project idea comes. Whereas if you're waiting, like trying to put all these 3D pieces together, there's parametric design, there's all this. And I know there's a lot of benefits, but quite frankly, a lot of the projects that are generated out of these 3D modeling applications, they are devoid of spirit. They're devoid of spirit. A lot of them are devoid of spirit. And you're looking at it, it's like, and it's that feeling of the empty carcass for me. It's that feeling of the empty, lifeless shell. So all this work that I've been doing, you know, it's like I've come to a deeper level of awareness of its importance. Like its importance to the point where if we don't work in this way, women, we could eradicate the organic, natural, living human being off of this planet. I'm talking, it's that dire. It's that, you know, and we can eradicate Gaia's life force off the planet. Now, I have complete and utter trust and a deep knowing that Gaia knows what she's doing and that we are really supported. Huh. So I was just flipping the cards and here she is, Gaia, Isis, holy queen, mother of us all. I was just flipping the cards and she just came out right now. She has beautiful rainbow wings. There's the sun and you can see the breath of life. At least that's how I'm perceiving it. Emanating in like, you know, dancing in the sky. And here's Gaia. She's Mary. Embodied manifestation of love. Right? Yeah. She's wanting me to speak more about love too. That the spirit that I'm talking about is the love that we bring through our forms, through our form making, through our crafting of every single doorknob and window and wall and roof and water fountain and pathway in the garden. How can we bring this love, this care and attention to every aspect of design, from working with your team to working with your builders, with your consultants and engineers? And how can you bring this love? And notice if it's missing in the projects that you see around you. And notice buildings and neighborhood homes and sidewalks of towns. Just take a notice. It's a homework exercise for you all. Do you see the love? It doesn't have to be perfect. Do you see the love in buildings and gardens around you? And how can you bring love and spirit and mother and the impulse of the creative life force that speaks through the belly of Mother Gaia into your own home, into your own living space? Perhaps you have a dream of building your own sanctuary. A lot of the women that I mentor are wanting to and are making plans, and I'm supporting them in making plans to build their own sanctuary, the architects that I'm mentoring, because they want to build a showcase of what's possible when you partner with the spirit of the land, when you partner with Gaia. Thank you, Isis. Beautiful Isis. So being aware of the potential for us to be and the land to be manipulated and manipulated into being dead matter. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. It was a pleasure talking to you all today, and I'm excited to witness all the creation that will birth through you, that is birthing through you. This week is actually today's October 1st. Oh my goodness. Today's October 1st. Welcome to October 2022 for those who may be watching this later in the future. If you are gifted if you know that you have intuitive gifts, if you know you have a capacity to sense energy, perhaps you're really sensitive. I'm a very sensitive person, although I've also been able to at this time, I was sensitive to the point where I was actually getting sick. That's what I want to make the distinction of. But now I'm not getting sick anymore because I'm finally doing what I'm meant to be doing. Do you get what I'm saying? So I'm sensitive now in a way where I'm able to tune into the subtle realms and tune into energetics on the land that help me to determine the sweet spots on people's properties, that help me to determine ideally where indoor and outdoor spaces are located on the land. So that everything is functioning as a harmonious whole. And I'm not overworking to do it. I'm not overworking. And I've developed a system also of that is very different from the consulting model, which is based on the dollars per hours model. So if you have any questions about my unique way of working, send me a personal message. You could send me a comment through YouTube or send me an email message through the contact form of the website. You can also PM me via Instagram. If you're really hearing the call, that means it's time to cross the threshold and take the leap. I know it can be scary. I know especially if you're in a job or at a firm. But I tell you, if you take the leap, you are going to change your life completely. You will change your life completely. And it's worth it, women. We've got to do it. It's your responsibility now. Gaia's calling you. Gaia's calling you. So excited. Let's do this, women. Use your power. Redirect your power into the vessel, the portal, the direction that your soul is meant to be walking, and begin to walk the walk of spirit. Until next time, bye.
Thank you for tuning into the New Earth Architectress. It's my intention to inspire more women architects and designers to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers, to lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and their divine calling while making a powerful impact on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with women who you know are feeling the nudges to take the big leap and bridge spirit with design. You can find out more about me and the New Earth Architect Dress movement by visiting aisharosemelodyhassan.com. Until next time, güle güle.